Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned into the Cutting Room Floor. I am LeVar, and welcome on what is indeed a special day in many ways. First of all, it is 11-11-11. Second of all, first of all, it's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans and to our active service members. We're thinking of you also, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And also, I promised myself that I would, I don't like to put my personal life out there too often, but today is a special day for someone special to me, and I know she'll probably listen in sooner or later, but to the Mrs., happy birthday. And fourth, well, I knew she would be back only because we kept her tied to a chair, and we told her that she could not go anywhere. Back with us for the second week in a row. Woo-hoo! We're going to play for the second week since she did not run away. My good friend Mary is back. What's going on?
I did run away, but you guys caught me.
Ah, let's tranquilize this one. You are back for a second week in a row, and we've got a little bit to talk about here. I know I've kind of teased to the people a little bit a couple of the things we were talking about. Two topics I'm going to leave because I know it's going to be our longer discussion, but I'm going to go with the first one this week in a study that came out from the University of California at Berkeley. And this is for all you awkward people out there. Just when you think that you can give up on life itself, comes a study that works in your favor. And according to that study from the University of California at Berkeley, men and women who are easily embarrassed are not only more trustworthy and more generous, but also report higher levels of monogamy. And the social psychologist there, Rob Willer, who is a co-author of the study, said that, quote, embarrassment is one emotional signature of a person to whom you can entrust valuable resources. So it's part of the social glue that fosters trust and cooperation in everyday life. And you know, they kind of broke it down and did a couple of experiments. And in the first one, 60 college students were videotaped telling stories of their most embarrassing moments. Research assistants then coded each testimonial based on the level of embarrassment shown by its subject. Now, in the second experiment, college students played something called the dictator game, which was an exercise used in economics research, yada, yada, yada. It's used to measure different things. You'll have to read about it. We'll post a link to our page. I don't want to get too far into it. But basically, each student was given 10 raffle tickets and asked to keep some of them and give the rest to a partner. Now, those students who showed more embarrassment tended to give away more of their tickets, hence the awkward people are more generous conclusion. And I guess I'm going to ask you, not that you're an awkward person, I don't think you're awkward, but you've read about the study.
Is it true
that the awkward? I didn't even get out the rest of my words, so I'm going to say yes.
You say yes. Yeah, no, I I may not be awkward, but I am easily embarrassed. So I agree 100%, yes. But I don't think it was it's one of those things where I think people are drawn to other people who can laugh at themselves. It's that personality trait of, it can't be like a social leper. I mean, I'm sorry if, you know, you're that socially awkward that you get around a person and you can't speak. But if people that get embarrassed, I've done embarrassing things. I do them daily. So, yeah, I agree.
There's people, but you know, I know, you know, they're socially embarrassed or socially awkward. You know, why is it that, you know, I guess according, I mean, to this study, they say that they're more adept at, you know, finding a good mate, but I mean, why is it that society always kind of like points and laugh at the socially awkward, and they're kind of almost in a way like they're like the kid banished to the children's table at Thanksgiving, I guess, to put it that way. But I don't know, does it work? I guess you can read more about the study, we'll post that to our page, but is it more attractive to be socially awkward as a woman or more attractive to be socially awkward as a male?
Well, I could pose the same question to you. I am...
I would say no. No, okay. I mean, if I came along and dropped a cup of hot soup on you and I just said, oops, I was awkward, I don't think you're going to want to date me after that.
Oh, you never know. It depends on how you react to it. Because you'll be embarrassed, probably. I know I would be embarrassed because you just dropped a cup of hot soup on me. But then there's that reaction afterwards. Is it, oh, God, I'm sorry, and run away? Is it, oh, God, I'm sorry, and then, but, hey, it's going to make a funny story, you know? It really depends on how you react to it afterwards. And even with the embarrassing moments, it's how you react afterwards. And if you can laugh at yourself and have a good time with it, you are going to get more you're going to get a positive reaction, a more positive reaction than if you duck your head and slink away, you know? And that's where the difference is between socially awkward and, like, the social leper.
I feel like you need a psychologist
on there. Yeah, you're going to have to get somebody that actually has a degree, because I know I can't help.
I feel like we need to, like, have, like, Dr. Joyce Brothers on or something like that to kind of explain that even more. But, yeah, if it sounded how it sounded, yes. It's basically put awkwardness equals your a greater catch, basically.
Yeah, and,
now,
and I think you probably are.
See? And now I don't know what the next story is going to be, and I didn't go over this with Mary ahead of time, and we did, but I don't know which one I want to do next, so I'm going to give Mary the rare choice here of choosing the story behind door number one, which it revolves an ad, or did I say door number two? Did I start off with door number two, actually? I can't believe I did.
No, you started off with door
number one. I jump ahead to conclusions. Door number one, the story about an ad that went too far, or door number two, the story about responsibility.
Door number one's a tricky door, so let's go with door number two.
All right, I didn't want to add to the day on like a bad note, but so we'll leave that one. Door number two is the story about responsibility. And actually, this was kind of funny because I, being here in Chicago and, you know, outside of Chicago, we really don't know what else is out there. Mary was kind enough to pass along a link to a local radio station out that way in Vegas. And if anybody from there is listening, was it KLUC, I'm correct?
KLUC.
Probably going to be wrong.
Correct.
Okay. And what happened was one morning, on their morning show, a young lady who is married, just got married, began to talk about her plans to get pregnant. And as they were talking about it, and of course the usual jokes and lighthearted morning fare comes up, a caller comes on the line. And the caller was upset about the morning crew talking about such a subject early in the morning. Now, it is not the first time that early in the morning there is a topic like that that could offend people. I remember once I had a friend tell me about a topic that occurred in another state, a topic that occurred early in the morning that she felt was just too much for her child to listen to in the morning, and she turned away. But this person continued on, and I guess you know where it's going to go from here. It kind of, not into a fight, really, but it came down to parental responsibility and being responsible for what our kids listen to. And I guess it's a two-parter question, is that, one, are we a little bit too much trusting to have TV, quote, train our kids? And number two, why do we have such an issue with turning away or policing what our kids are watching, or at least talking about what they're watching? And now, I'm not, I don't have kids, and I know you have a young child, and I know it's I know this probably hits home more with you. And you listen to the link. Do you agree with what the lady on that line was complaining about? And if you don't, I guess, you know, whose responsibility is it overall to police, you know, what our kids watch? Is it the media or is it the parent?
No, I don't agree with it. I hear what she says, like what she said. She was very, she got off topic is what caused the riot. If she would have said it was inappropriate, okay, you have your opinion, moving on. I don't agree with how she brought that up. And it was along the lines of, it's inappropriate because now you're teaching young kids about pregnancy. The responsibility falls on the parents, and it always does. You brought that child into the world, so you need to be responsible for that life. And if you are not happy with that, where that life is going, until they get to an adult, you have the responsibility to change that. I talked to my daughter about it. She's a very smart kid for being as young as she is. She's a very smart kid. I talked to her about it. I said, you know, we're going to talk about this on the radio show. What do you think? She said, I don't think they should have talked about it that early in the morning. Okay, why not? She goes, because that's not a kid show kind of morning talk. And I said, okay. And I go, do you think it's all right for somebody to yell about it? And she said, no, that should be up to their moms and dads. And out of the mouths of babes is exactly what it comes down to. So this comes back to, and it goes back to the show last week with the kid that was in Florida. It's the parents' responsibility to steer their children in the right way, and the responsibility does not fall on the media. It does not fall on the on social networking. It doesn't fall on schools. It comes back down to, you are a parent. So be a parent. And that's where it hits home with me, of course. It's something that I hold dear because that's very important in my life.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, coming from, and I, like I said, I saw where the lady was coming from, and then she kind of added, you know, the thing about young girls and, you know, not becoming pregnant and just a whole bunch of off-filter stuff. And while it is a concern, the thing is that, hey, you know, and I don't want to hit that harshly, but if we're doing our jobs as parents and telling our kids about this subject, which is totally is another show in itself, but telling our kids about things of a sexual and frank nature when we come across it, I don't think it would have led to the problems that she was having. But I get more so because I've been in this for a little bit, I get more mad every time I hear someone talk, per se, about, well, I hate that show because, you know, I feel the stuff is not appropriate. And a great example this year is with the Playboy Club, which was on NBC, canceled after one episode because there was so much backlash even before it hit the air from people who said that they did not want their kids to see such a thing. I got news for you, parents. Kids pretty much aren't going to be interested in watching the Playboy Club. And if they are, it wasn't like there was nudity involved. It's no more different than probably what they didn't see on MTV, you know, or on VH1, or people dressed in certain ways or doing certain things and talking about certain. It's no different from Jersey Shore. So I don't understand, you know, and that's even more worse probably than the Playboy Club. But yet, there was no complaints, and it's still on the air. And to me, you know, people are so lazy, especially some parents now, are so lazy in which they expect the media or, you know, stations to teach their kids right from wrong, and then when the message is wrong, then all of a sudden you want to step in. That's not the time to step in. Your time to step in is always. And if you don't like what you're hearing and if you don't like what you're seeing, just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it should be yanked off the air or that it should not be on. Don't watch it. There is an off button. No one is coming and saying, hey, if you don't watch this, we're going to come and, you know, kick you out of your home.
Oh, yeah. And there have been plenty of times when something has come on TV, a commercial, radio. I start up the car and the radio turns on. And something comes on. I go, whoops, nope, shut it off. And, yeah, okay, so I heard it and I went, okay, now my daughter's heard it. But that's my job. I shut it off. Why'd you shut it off? Because that's inappropriate for you. And that's all that it takes. If you lay down that foundation, that's all that it takes. You got to be open with your kids. Unfortunately, this day and age, kids are getting bombarded from everywhere. I mean, there was a show, The Life of an American Teenager, that started out on the premise of a girl in high school getting pregnant. That's the premise of the show. And it was popular because it covered all these things. Okay, but then the Playboy Club, really? I mean, really? I saw the first episode. It was not that big of a deal. It was not like Showtime kind of thing, you know. Put it on with a mature rating and you can only play it at night. It wasn't like that. It was tame compared to some of the things that was covered on some of the other things. 90210, hugely popular show. Kids doing drugs, drinking, running out on their parents. The parents are barely on the show. You have to make those choices ahead of time. You have to be like, this is what I want for my child. And if you can't lay that foundation, then you cannot blame somebody else for throwing it at your child.
I think, you know, too, like I said, there's so many parents out there who have gotten lazy in regards to actually being responsible for what their young kids see. You don't plop them down in front of a TV to let them watch everything under the sun. You know, you have to be there to monitor and watch what they're seeing on the internet and what they're doing. And it's a weak call to complain about it. And of course, you know, your concerns are valid, but to complain about it and then point the finger like, yeah, that's you guys are wrong. It was wrong on her part. And like I said, if you don't like what you're listening to or watching, there is an off button, there is an alternative. In this world of, you know, 300 channels and over, you know, hundreds of different channels on the radio, you have options. But, of course, you know, we want, you know, if you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, we want your option to be here.
Okay.
So we don't need you to tune us out. Stay on. But we'll walk away from that story for another day. But I wanted to get to this story because I think last night when I saw it, I was so shocked at what I saw. But then again, in a world in which controversy reigns supreme, I was not shocked. And I know you're going to have a lot to say about this, and I'll set up the story for all of you. But the website Ashley Madison, which is a married dating service for people, or as it says, as they say, a married dating service for discreet encounters, which is just wrong off the bat, they just released the second of two ads that mock the plus-size model for her look. And a dating site which seeks to connect the married or attached individuals for affairs released an ad last week stating, quote, did your wife scare you last night? Scare in all caps, with the photo of an overweight woman lounging sexually in lingerie. And, of course, the logic, as we all know, with a wife that frighteningly fat, the only solution is to seek sex elsewhere and with married folks on Ashley Madison specifically. Now the site has released a second ad that reduces the argument even further to that simple logic, in which it has a model, a skinny model, where it has skinny with a green check mark, and then the original model from the last ad where it says fat equals bad with an X. And that same, like I said, the same model is juxtaposed with the other slender model. And the ad tagline says, we call it as we see it. Now, you know, those two ads alone with their blatant insulting and rejection of, you know, overweight individuals in favor of a, you know, unrealistic physical idea will be bad enough. But I guess what irks me even more is that after the first ad came out, the overweight model in question spoke out against the ads and requested that Ashley Madison not present her photo that way. Now, the lady, her name is Jacqueline. She runs a website called JissyJackie.com. She wrote a first-person essay defending her body and condemning Ashley Madison's treatment of it. She goes on and says, quote, "I'm a size 32. I am beautiful. I think women of all sizes are beautiful. Beauty is not and has never been one size fits all. I do not appreciate my image being used without notice or permission to tell women I have never met otherwise." And she went on to talk about, you know, women who have problems with their weight and how this ad, especially at this time, was just irresponsible. And then, of course, Ashley Madison's response, they go on to say, "The best thing that could have happened to this woman is that we used her in our ad. If she can get great publicity from this, all the power to her." And then the next day, that's when they released the other ad. Now, you know, for guys, you know, our, I guess, comments on this, you know, you're going to get, of course, the particular guy's comment where they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I would have probably chose the first model," or something stupid. But I don't even have to go any farther, but I know that as a woman, you're seeing this ad and you're thinking, what?
Many words that I should not say on the radio. Most of them four letters. That is what I'm thinking. I'm speechless. I really am. It's appalling. It's insulting. It's, yeah.
I was shocked, though, because in an age like this, you know, normally if there was an ad, people didn't like it or it was controversial, you, especially something like this. Now, there's been some controversial ads in which I don't think that they were really as controversial. I think that they were kind of like trying to pinpoint a message. But with this one, there is no message, and it's so disgusting. I was shocked that they would have the gall. I'm not even going to say nerve, the gall to come out with a second ad that pokes fun at the person for ridiculing the first ad. And if you have not seen the ad, we'll post the story to it on our website, but it was just shocking overall. And, I mean, here's where you talk about, you know, something being a bad influence. I mean, yes, I mean, there is, you know, we're at a critical juncture where a lot of ladies who, I mean, let's face it, I mean, no one is a size zero. That's not the normality. And, you know, as a guy, I don't care if you're size 0, 10, 20, 30, or 40. You know, it's really all about your attitude with me. But for this to be out there, and they know that in society now there are a lot more issues with young ladies in regards to their weight and dealing with that, how insensitive it could be.
As much as I want to just scream about this ad, and the back of my mind, I'm hoping that the man that did, like, I'm assuming it's a man, because that kind of ad coming from a woman makes it even worse. So I'm putting it in that a man came up with that idea. But if the man that came up with that idea is bald and has a pot belly and, you know, is one of those people that would be like, really, you're going to put that out there? No one can be, not everybody is Tyrese. Nobody, not everybody is Ty Diggs. Nobody, not everybody is, you know, Halle Berry. Nobody, not everybody is, what's her name? The model, the one that's a waif. You know which one I'm talking about. Heidi Klum. There's another one. You know, if you want super skinny and a bobblehead, then by all means, go for it. If you don't, I am a full-figured gal. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm overweight. I mean, I am overweight, but I'm not obese. But it still offends me, you know? I'm sorry. It's just plain offensive, and that's all it was meant to be. And it worked. It's offensive on its face. It's offensive for the ad. It's offensive that it's on a website that's promoting extramarital affairs. It's all around offensive.
I can't even give it a shaking my head award a week. It's so bad. I think even if you saw it, it's just, it's amazing. But, well, we've got a couple of minutes to go, and I want to take some time out today. And I know Mary probably has a couple of words, and then I'll end it with my own words on what today really is. It's not just 11/11 and a day full of weddings and things of that nature, but it is also Veterans Day. And I know this day holds a significant special place for you. And so I'll give you the floor here for a moment to kind of talk about what this day means to you.
Well, first of all, thank you to all the vets that are listening, active, retired, discharged. Those people mean the world to me. I would not be here, period, without having my dad's a vet, my uncle's a vet. I have many friends that are still in the military, and I wish them safe return home. And I'm starting to get a little emotional. It's very important to know that without the sacrifices they made, we could not sit here and talk like we are. And it's something that I'm teaching my daughter, and something that I hope that everybody else out there really embraces and thanks those people that gave them that right, that freedom to be upset. I don't agree with a lot of violence. I don't agree with war. I don't agree with, you know, going out in battle, but sometimes you have to defend your home, and these guys are defending our home. And they put their lives out there every day, and they give everything. And their families, too. Their families have sacrificed almost as much as they have, and it's very important. So thank you to all of them for me.
And I know I had said some things earlier on Twitter as well as our Facebook page, and, when we get around to days like this, I sat up last night thinking, what I could possibly say on this day. And the thing is that I hope that people just don't take Veterans Day on November 11th, but they remember our vets all throughout the year. These are men and women who stepped up to the plate to literally say, I will go out and protect and defend our country so that my brothers, my sisters, my kids, my spouse could enjoy freedoms at home. And they don't get Christmas holidays off. They don't get Thanksgiving off, though, the military tries as best as they can to make it a little bit more accommodating for them. But they don't get those days off, and they are in constant danger. And I don't think people remember that all the time. And for all of them who are brave enough, and especially for those who have served in past wars and for those who will serve in future wars that we hope that there are none, and for those who are actively serving, I cannot say enough how much I thank you. And I know that I can't imagine what families have to go through or the life that they have to live knowing that their loved one is out there. And all I can say to those, like I said, who have served, thank you. And to those who are actively serving, I hope that you all come home safe and sound. And if you are out today and you do run across a vet, I would say for just one big favor coming from me, thank them for all that they've done. And for me here, I definitely say I salute each and every one of you, and like we said, we can't wait until the day in which you are home safe. And that will do it for those of us here on the cutting room floor. The clock on the wall is telling us that we are out of time. Mary, thank you so much. We'll see you next week, my friend.
Thank you for having me back.
I know. It's 2 weeks down, and we've got a few weeks to go. You're the contract, so we've got to now put the handcuffs back on you. But like I said, the clock on the wall is telling us we are out of time. And once again, all of our veterans, we're thinking of you. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless this great country. Good night, Rudy.